That affirmation from Colossians is powerful, especially when we think about it at Christmas time, that little tiny baby, God in the flesh, and God's the fullness of God, pleased to dwell in him. And all things were made through him and for him. It's an amazing thing. Today we look at the story of the wise men or the Magi. And it's in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I encourage you to follow along as I read through this. One of the amazing things about this passage has to do with the fact that God did reveal something to people who were not his covenant people, Israel. Something tremendous, like the birth of his son, is revealed to Gentiles. And so we don't want to lose the significance of that. Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring word to me, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Well, these wise men, the Magi, they're in the east, probably around Babylon area. And they were a class of people, priests, scholars, wise men. They were astronomers and astrologers. They interpreted dreams. They were the scholars of their age and their place. They were tutors to the nobility. In fact, as they taught the future nobles, the kings, that oftentimes these magi had to approve of that person before they could then be anointed into that office. So we're coming to look at what we can learn from these magi, because they had a great devotion. And I believe their devotion was a love. So, you know, it's sometimes we think of scholars as people who just perhaps bury themselves in books, but there's no passion that's there. And if you've met some scholars, that might be true for some, and for others, you find that there is a deep passion, a passion for truth, a passion for sharing that truth. And that was true for these. They had this commitment to learn more and then allow their hearts to just burn with that in devotion. We can learn from them then about a commitment to mind and heart. The first is to love God. They loved God. Now, this class of priests were monotheistic, believing in one God. Now, that was fairly unique because at that time, the only ones that believed in one God were the Jews, Israel, and this small minority of people over in Babylon. And they believed in one God. Perhaps that's why God revealed himself to them. And in believing in this one God, and being the priest then for the people there, for this one God, they also believed that this God was good, and that he directed the course of history. And that's why they were astronomers and astrologers, looking up into the heavens, seeing the dance of the stars, the heavenly bodies as they went. And they believed that it was God who was in control of that heavenly dance. And they could learn things from that. As they loved God, they loved God through their obedience. They showed their obedience. For us to love God, it's action as well as heart. It's both. They go hand in hand. If we love God, our hearts will yearn for him, and we will seek to do what he calls us to do. So as they're looking out at the heavenly bodies and they see this star, they are convinced that God has called them to follow that star. And they are obedient to do that. And we don't want to miss the idea that that comes out of their love for God. It's an obedient heart that loves God. Did other people see this star? Probably. But did they really understand it? Did it move their hearts? Did they seek to really want to follow and find out what God has for them? And the answer to that is probably not, because these Magi were the ones who went. God did reveal something special to them, and they went. And part of their love, and this is true for us, when we seek to love God, is it's not just in times when it is comfortable for us. It's not just in the easy times. We're called to worship God at all times, in the easy times and in the difficult times of life. So when we go through rough patches, we're to look at God's goodness and call out to him and pray for deliverance, for help, for comfort and peace. But we also know that God takes us through difficult times. And so they knew that as they were being obedient to God to follow this star, they were being taken out of their comfort. See, at a time when there was the nobility and these priests, and there were the poor people of the land. Poor people barely had enough to scrape by. But those who were in the palaces had abundance. They had comfort. And they chose to leave that comfort and to go on a journey, which was probably around 800 miles. And it probably took them a good 40 days of travel. So they left their comfort. And to go on that journey meant that there was a risk, because any journey has risk. You can fall. There were robbers. And they were going into a territory that did not like Magi, who viewed them as conjurers of magic. That's where we get our word magic, from the Magi. They didn't understand them. So they knew they were going into kind of a hostile territory. Furthermore, because of the trade routes, they knew very well the political sense that was there at that time. Herod. And Herod was not a nice guy. He'd kill people that he didn't like. Political expediency. So they were going, and they're going to go find Herod. And so they knew that as they left, they were risking their very lives because they loved God. They also love truth, and so we're to love truth as well. They love truth as scholars. They would seek truth wherever they could find it, but they could remember certain things written on scrolls for them, that about 605 BC is when God's people were sent to Babylon. Daniel was sent to Babylon into captivity. And because God was with Daniel, and God allowed him to interpret dreams, Daniel rose in prominence, and he actually became the head or the chief of the Magi at that time. And Daniel would have brought with him and would have shared the prophecies that were there, some of them referring to the Christ child. And also available, and would have been on the trade route because they would have sought knowledge, was the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures. So these scholars would have been poring over these parchments and looking to see where is truth. And then they would have followed truth wherever it led. And that's what took them out on their journey, their love for God, their love for truth. Out there is the King of the Jews. They were convinced God had revealed something special through the star, through their knowledge that God had allowed them to gain. Through 600 years earlier, God allowing his people to be taken into captivity over into Babylon so that God's word could be known there. Isn't it an amazing thing what God does? Just weaves together history. It's not coincidence. So that they could follow now this truth wherever it would lead. And when you love truth, you don't compromise anything. In other words, they're not going to say, well, these are things I believe, that stuff that the Jews believe, it's just a curiosity, we'll go over and just take a look, see what's going on. It's truth. And so they don't compromise truth. They embraced the truth and went out on the journey. It's for us as well, to embrace truth. We're blessed with having not just the Old Testament scriptures and all of them, probably all of it wasn't available to them, but we have the New Testament as well, testifying to us about Jesus. And so we can pursue truth no matter where it leads us. We can pursue truth and compromise nothing. One of the greatest things that we learn, I think, although loving God and loving truth are where it's at. I mean, to love God, what's better? But it's to take it, this love for God, into another step, and that's to love wonder. And that's what we learn from these magi, these wise men, is that they were astounded by the star. Now, they had followed the stars for years and tried to understand this movement in the heavens and what God was revealing to them. But there was something that they saw in that star, and they were just utterly blown away, astounded, brought into a sense of awe and wonder. And we're to be brought into that same sense of awe and wonder, whether it be as we prepare ourselves for Christmas and think about this incredible event of God taking on flesh and being born as any of us has been born. It's just an amazing thought. But their sense of wonder also of all of life. So for us to wake up each day with a sense of wonder, of awe, of what God is doing, of who God is, to look out at a sunrise and to say, look at that. God is able to do that every morning and create a new beauty, a new dimension every single day. to look at anything in creation, whether it be the mountain, whether it be a flower, and to look closely and to say, God made this. And to just not explain it away with science and say, oh yeah, that's easy to understand. Because science cannot get down to where did all of it come from to begin with. That has to be from an act of God. And so we want to be swept away with everything around us. I mean, look up at night, or in the daytime when it's the moon is bright enough during the day, and we look out there, we see the moon. Just think about this. It is exactly the right size and the right distance. I mean, we can try to explain it away by gravity, right, and the pull that's there. But if that moon were any other size, this planet would just fall apart. I mean, it is part of what controls the tides. And we experience life because of another heavenly body out there. And then the sun, which gives us life. I mean, that is an astounding thing. So we need to be swept away with wonder daily. So we learned that from the Magi. They're astounded. And then this sense of awe and wonder leads them to rejoice. They rejoice exceedingly. Now, they had seen the star. They had followed the star. They were in the east. And the star, this special thing that God had put up there for them, was actually moving in a way to guide them. And they see the star again now after talking with Herod, and it's guiding them to Bethlehem, 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Now, they've been following the star for a long time, but they see it again now in a new way as they're heading towards Bethlehem, and it says that they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy when they saw this star. And so our love, our worship of God should be awe and wonder. It should be filled with great joy. Great joy because it was leading them to the King. And then they come in to the house where Mary and the child are. And it says, they fell down and worshiped him. Falling down is this act of complete submission and devotion. It is being all in. And that's where they're at with their worship. They just fall down before this little baby. And they worship him. Not just they come and are bended knee before a king. They fall down before the King of the universe. They fall down before the Son of God. And so we come in our worship. We don't physically fall down. We're in pews, sitting comfortably. And sometimes our worship is just too ordered. We've got the bulletin. Now we stand, now we say these words, now we sit, now we sing, now we stand, now we listen. You know, and it's good to have order. It's good, and it doesn't mean that our worship is not heartfelt, but we must never let our worship become routine. And that's up to us individually. As we prepare ourselves for worship, as we come and we seek God's face. These Magi had a long time to prepare to worship this little baby, the one born the King. And so we prepare our hearts to worship every Sunday, every day to worship God. And we come in wholehearted submission to Him. And then it says that they opened their treasures, gold and frankincense and myrrh, all costly gifts. And the gifts that had significance in what they were. And they laid these before Jesus. There is something about giving of gifts that is an expression, it completes the expression of joy and devotion. We know that at this Christmas time, don't we? Now, sometimes it just becomes hard. We might feel like, I've got to go buy these gifts. But when we step back and we really think about it, we have the joy of giving gifts and of anticipating and thinking about what would this person like? What would bring this person joy? Whether it be a spouse or child or grandchildren, neighbors, whoever it might be. And we think about it beforehand, and there's this anticipation, and it's joyful. And then we give the gift, and there's a joy in that, because God has given to us a resource to give a gift. And a gift doesn't have to be something that's costly, because it's from the heart. And we give that gift. And then the joy of seeing the other person receive that gift, and the joy now that we have is complete. And that's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Or others have said that a shared joy is a double joy. There really is a truth in that, and we know it. And so the Magi, as they brought these gifts, they were an expression of their devotion, but it was a release of their joy, a completeness. And so we too, as we bring offerings on Sunday morning, or as we give gifts to family and friends, we find that same joy. It's the heart, and it is part of that wonder that we have towards God and what He is doing. So we have a lot to learn from these Magi, to love God, to love truth, to love wonder. Let us do it this Christmas season. Let us fall in love with Jesus, this little baby, all over again. Let us find something incredibly delightful and fresh in His love for us this Christmas season. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for Your love. Thank You for the witness of these wise men. Thank You for just the life that You give to us. Continue to work in and through us, for we desire to be faithful as these Magi were faithful. We desire to express our love and our wonder as they did. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen.